Now take your Bible, turn with us to the book of Genesis tonight.
As we take a text from here in this portion of God's Word, beginning in the second chapter, third chapter, in verse 14, Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 14. Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou cursest above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put in between thee the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the woman said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then the enemy said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, to dust thou art, and in the dust shalt thou return. Now, as you look here tonight, you will see that there are four curses that's named here in this portion of God's Word. First of all, we find that God puts a curse upon the serpent and declares that he shall crawl all the days of his life and his belly upon the ground. Then God puts a curse, my friends, upon the woman and decrees that a woman must suffer in childbirth and be obedient unto her husband. Now, don't get mad at me, ladies. That's what God says about it, that a woman is to be subject unto her husband. I know a lot of him take women and a lot of fancy husbands, but God said that a woman is to be obedient unto her husband. Then, my friends, he puts a curse upon the ground and declares that the thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And the other night, I mentioned this, that's the reason that crop grass grows better than strawberries. That is a curse upon the church. Then God goes on to say that a man would have a curse upon him, and the curse is this, that a man would have to toil and labor for the bread that goes upon the table. Now, my friends, as we read here in God's Word, these curses are mentioned, God tells about them, and these curses have never been lifted. They're just as real tonight as they were when God placed these curses upon a man, upon the woman, upon the serpent, and on the earth. And so tonight, I want to bring you a message now from this portion of God's Word on this subject, the origin of the devil and the battle of the ages. As you look into the text tonight, you'll find that God, my friends, or rather the Godhead, is made up of a Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You'll find that each member of the Godhead has a specific office work that it carries out. For instance, here's God the Father. He's the God of might and power, justice and judgment and sovereignty, and other terms that could be applied to God the Father. Then there's God the Holy Spirit. He is the God of wooing, of enticement. He's the God of conviction. He's the God that calls sinners to repentance. And the God of comfort and other terms that could be applied unto him. Then there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read about him in the scriptures, you find that he is the God of grace, of adoption, atonement, and other terms that could be applied to the purpose work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible declares that there are three in one. And so realizing that tonight, and accepting that as the inspired, infallible, authoritative word of God telling the truth, I tell you, my friends, we have a God here that's the God of might and power and justice and judgment and sovereignty and wrath and grace and mercy and long-suffering and adoption and atonement and other terms that can be applied. They're our great God. Now, there's another order that's in heaven, and you'll find that the Bible talks about angels, it talks about cherubims, it talks about seraphims. And you read about the cherubims, you find that they do right work as under God the Father. When God the Father wants something carried out, it's the cherubims that carry out the biddings of God the Father. When the Holy Spirit wants something carried out, it's the seraphims that do right work as under the Holy Spirit of God. And the angels do right work as under the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go into detail, but I'll give you just a reference quickly in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And you're reading there, you find that when Isaiah was lifted up, or rather in chapter 6, when he lifted up in his vision, he said, I saw the train of the Lord, and he filled the temple. And he said, I saw the seraphims, and they had six wings. With two wings they covered their feet, with two wings they covered their face, and with two wings they flew, and they cried.
Notice three holy persons here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so my friends, they cried, holy, holy, holy. Now, there's another order that's in heaven, and it's called archangels. And you read about the archangels here. There's only famous Michael. He does not work as in the God the Father. You remember when Sennacherib sent Hezekiah a letter, he said, I'm going to keep you and all of God's people. That's the spirit of Hezekiah today. And you know what Hezekiah did? The Bible said he went out and opened that letter and began to pray and seek the face of God. And he said, oh God, open your eyes and see, open your ears and hear, and save us from the hands of this ungodly man. Do you know what happened? Well, the Bible said God sent a death angel into that army camp, and when old Reverend Sanders the next morning, there was 185,000 soldiers as dead as a hammer, and had their toes turned up towards the sky like daisies, because my friends, God calls on the mighty Michael. Michael is in charge of all the cherubims of heaven, and the wrath, the judgments, and the sovereignty of God were carried out. Now that's one archangel. His name is Michael. But there's another archangel. His name is Gabriel. Oh my. When you read about Gabriel, you'll find that he does like work as under the Holy Ghost of God. When Mary, before her and Joseph was married, the Bible said she would found the child, and it was under the Holy Ghost of God. Now, who was it that brought this young virgin girl back into the message that she was going to bring for the God? The Bible says that Gabriel came. How did he come? He came like the Holy Spirit of God. He brought a message of comfort. Why? It didn't scare Mary when this angel came. She asked him a question. But it's not a question of that. It's a question of concern. She said, how can these things be, seeing that I have been an old man? And then Gabriel said to her, that which is in you is of the Holy Ghost of God. Now he does not work as under the Holy Spirit of God. But now wait a minute. I've given you God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I have given you cherubim, seraphims, and angels. But wait, I have only mentioned two archangels. I've made one for God the Father, and I've made one for God the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, doesn't Jesus then have an archangel? All right. As you read through the Bible, you find there's a time when the Lord Jesus Christ had an archangel. His name was Lucifer. The word Lucifer means bright and burning star. Isn't that a like name as unto Jesus Christ? He's the bright and the morning star. Not only that, but even this very hour, Lucifer is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Isn't that like Jesus? He is the light of the world. Now, it's in prison. As you read in the Word of God, you find that Lucifer, outside of the Godhead, was the most beautiful being in all of heaven. But one day we find that God said, I'm going to make a world. I'm going to make a man. And man's going to sin against me. And God said, when man sins against me, then I'm going to send my only begotten Son into a sin-cursed world to die for the remission of sins. And God said, when my Son dies, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God said, when a poor old sinner gets saved, I'm going to make him higher than the angels. And old Lucifer says, above me, and God said, above you. All right. Lucifer says, I will. In reading the account about Lucifer, I said, just four times that he uses the expression, I will. Did you know, my friends, that's the language of the devil, to say, I will? Did you know that? Why, if you read the Bible, God said, don't say, I will. It says to say, the Lord willing, I will do this and this. But Lucifer said, I will ascend above the throne of God, and I'll defeat God, and I'll start a war in heaven, and I'll defeat God, and when I've defeated God, then I shall be the supreme one. But you know the story. God takes Lucifer and all the angels to believe his lies and accepted what he wanted to do. God keeps them out of heaven. Now then, God makes the world. God frames this world. God makes the man. God breathes in his nostrils the breath of life. And my friends, the Bible says that in the cool of the day, God was walking with Adam yonder in the beautiful Garden of Eden. Now God sees that man is lonely, and he gives him a helpmate. I tell you, my friends, as you read this out, we see that the devil comes, and in a subtle manner, he beguiles Eve and tells her that she is to eat of the tree that God told told him not to eat us. She believes the devil's lie, and Adam does the same thing. As they eat, and what happens? Their eyes were open. They believe the devil's lie. The devil said, you'll be a god yourself. You'll be a goddess yourself. And so they forsook the tree that God told them not to eat us. And the Bible said their eyes were open. They recognized that they were naked. And dear friend, we find that God comes on the scene, and God puts a curse upon the serpent, a curse on the woman, a curse on the earth, and a curse upon the man. Now then, I would have said to the devil, we'll stop at that very time. Because if you read here, I'm giving you this introduction. I want you to get this. As we read here, my friends, in verse 14, rather verse 15, God gives a proclamation that Jesus is going to come. And I, look at the verse, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thou shalt, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Now notice he said, if the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise her heel. Is that what it says? No, sir. It says, thou shalt bruise his heel. What's he saying here? What's the word of God said? God gives them the proclamation that Jesus Christ shall be born of a woman, and my friend Jesus shall come into the world, and a woman shall give birth to the Son of God as far as the flesh is concerned. All right, the devil said, if I can keep Jesus from being born, then I would have won the battle for us. Bible said, my friends, and beginning tonight, the devil is a self-created being, and not only that, but he tried his best to keep Jesus Christ from ever being born. He said, if I can keep Jesus from being born, I will have wasted redemption forever and forever sinners. If I can keep Jesus Christ from being born, there'll be no way for man to ever be saved by the grace of God. Now, Lucifer's war is not against God the Father in the Department of Justice. It's not against the Holy Spirit in the Department of Comfort, but it's against Jesus Christ in the Department of Grace. Amen. And the Bible said, if I can keep Jesus from being born, I will have won the battle forever. Well, let's lose the battle. Praise God. We see this thing as it begins. And neighbor, the devil begins to watch Eve. She brings forth a child. And so the devil begins to be shrewd, and he's smart, and he has to figure out a lot of things. Now, you know, the devil doesn't do everything, and he's not everywhere all the time, and he can't do everything. No, sir. Now, these are only attributes of God Almighty. Ah, but you've got Jehovah. My friend, God Jehovah knows everything. God Jehovah can do everything, and God Jehovah is everywhere all the time. But not so with Lucifer. He doesn't know everything. He can't do everything, and he's not everywhere all the time. Even though I will confess, I bet the buzzard follows me around about two-thirds of the time. Yes, sir. But I'm thinking, dear friends, he doesn't know everything, and he's not everywhere all the time, and he cannot do everything. So, as I read this, I'm reminded that Lucifer, though, is smarter than all the human race from the time of Adam until this very hour. If you were to put every man, every woman, every born girl in one day, Lucifer could outwit the whole crowd. He can outsmart the whole crowd. He certainly can. So, we find that. Then Lucifer begins to scheme. Why, he said, I knowing God like I do, he'll pick the firstborn child. So, he thinks for the child. His name is Cain. Has it ever been upon the Bible that the devil really jumped off? It was Cain, huh? I would have said he was carnal-minded. He was religious, but he wanted to do it Israel. And he loved the things of the world. And all of that. The next thing, he brings forth another child. His name is Abel. The devil paid him no mind. But it wasn't wrong until Abel was taking a blood sacrifice and offering it unto God. And God smiled upon him. And the devil said, wait a minute, maybe I picked the wrong one. So he said, I've got to do something. And what did he do? He got Cain mad at his own brother. Cain slays his brother. And my friends, if he does so, the devil said, I've got it made now. Jesus Christ will not come through the seed of a wicked Cain. He cannot come through the seed of a dead Abel. And therefore, I have won the battle forever. But I reckon, friends, it wasn't long till he brings forth another child. And his name is Seth. And God says, there he is. That's the one that I'm going to choose. All right? The seed of Seth begins to multiply, and the devil loses trace of it. And so what does he do? He colludes includes the whole human race. It wasn't long lived by the Sioux and Brown field out of the hula hook and the head of the nation. It wasn't long until everybody had got entangled in sin, and the devil had them living just like he wanted them. They went to the honky tonks, the coffee honks, the road houses, and they had themselves a time. And the devil said, "I've got it made now. Everybody is a living crooked and perverse." I'll tell you, friends, listen. Praise God, over yonder on the back side of nowhere, there's an old fella had his hammer and saw. And just God is building an ark that is as long as 2 football fields high as a 5-story building. And I want to tell you, I like what the Bible says. It shall be found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I want to tell you, the devil began to scheme on this matter, and he said, "I know what I'll do. I know that one of Noah's sons is going to come Christ." So he said, "I've got to pick one of them out." And while that old ark was floating about, Noah, my friends, and his 3 sons and their daughters, one of their wives were born. I was thinking the old devil begins to pick one out. He picked out Ham. I don't know how he picked old Ham out. He might have said he might have picked old Ham for the soul, for all I know. I don't know how he picked him out. But I'll tell you one thing. Ham looks upon his father sickness. And the Bible said he gets a bitter curse pronounced upon him. As he does so, you find that the word Ham in the Hebrew means black and sporty. Now, that he had a boy whose name was Canaan. And the word Canaan means black and sporty, dark colors. And I want to tell you, a curse is pronounced upon him. And the devil said, "I've got it made now. Jesus will not come through the seed of Ham because there is a curse upon him." But if you read the Bible, you'll find that God had even chosen Ham to start with. The Bible said there was another boy whose name was Shem, and God said, "This is the one that I'm going to choose." Now, the seed of Shem began to multiply, and the devil loses trace of it. So what does he do? He goes back to one of his old tactics of polluting the whole human race. It wasn't long to be all going to the theaters and seeing David and Bathsheba, you know, put out to some of this crooked Hollywood crowd and get the point. It wasn't long, my friends, until this woman is dropped as the devil woman too. They're drinking the food, they're living it up, running to the dives and the hell holes once again. An old slewfoot sat back and said, "I've got it made now. Everybody is a living brother now." God said, "You're not so." Hallelujah. But at that time, now the Earl of the Caribbean came a soldier to cross looking for a city that wasn't built by the hands of man. And I hear somebody say, "Fella, where are you going?" Said, "I'm looking for a city." Yeah. "Why?" He said, "They said you just left one." He said, "I know, but there's a bunch of dead beasts and bugs and ropes and hobos and cooks of every description down there." Said, "I'm looking for a city where there's no frost will ever fade of powder, where there's no crape will be hung on the doorknobs of glory. I'm looking for a city where they never die." "Why," they said, "you'll never find one like that." And I can hear Abraham say, "I may not, but I'll be found to look it for it." Because he said, you see all the stars in the sky. He said, God said that my seed would outnumber the stars of the sky. And the Abraham reached down and get a handful of the hot desert sands, and as the sand sprayed through his fingers, he says, "And God has promised that my seed will outnumber the sands of the seashore." Amen. Why, I'm going to tell you, friends, listen. Praise God. The devil said, "I'm going to do something now. I'll attack the wife." And that's what happened. We found that Sarah's up about 80 years old, Abraham's about 90, and they do not have a child. And my friends, the devil said, "I've got it made now. This woman is past age to bring forth a child, and they have the only promise that's been given for a child to be born." And he said, "They're past age, and Jesus will never, never, never be born." But I'll tell you, in God's own time, amen. You need to leave God out of it, honey. Just God, and God said, "Son, mighty well, it's so." Amen. All right. I said, if God moved on the scene, and here's a woman that was past age to bring forth a child. But I want to tell you, friends, that God moved upon that woman and upon that man, the Bible says, and gave them strength to conceive and bring forth a child. I want to tell you, when that little boy was born, his name was Isaac. The word Isaac means laughter. In other words, they're reminded every time they call his name how that they laughed when the messengers of God came and said, "It's time for that boy to be born." Now, my friends, you know what I get from that whole story? There are 3 things that the devil mean to mess with. Abraham had the promise of God. Abraham had faith that God would do what he said he would. And not only that, but out of something that was dead, God resurrected a child. You know, if you've got the promises of God, and if you've got faith in God, amen, I'm going to tell you, friends, she can believe in the resurrection. Because Jesus went through the old sin room and left a life for me and you, thank God. And one of these mornings, we're going to come out safely on the other side. The devil said, I've got to do something. And so what did he do? He made Isaac bashful and shy and back serious. He's 40 years old and never married. Think about it. 40 years old and never courted. Why? You hell, Emma, I'm 36 years old, and I can't remember when I didn't court. This guy's 40 and never has. One day Abraham said, son, said you ever going to get married? And I hear old Isaac, as he bows his head and hides his face, said, yeah, Paul, I'll marry if you'll get her. And that's exactly what happened. Amen? Huh? Well, the Bible said, Abraham called for the elder servant, whose name was Eliezer, and said, I want you to go. And he said, a wife? For my son Isaac. The Bible said he packed up the camels, went in another country, and brings this young lady back. Well, they're married, happily married. And the devil said, I know what's going to happen. The firstborn child. Watch him. He goes back to one of his old tactics that he did with Cain and Abel in the garden, or back there with Adam and Eve. He said, the firstborn child, that'll be the one that Jesus will come to. But I will tell you, God, when the poor woman on the devil, he did this. Yes, we are. Amen. Why, the Bible said, my princess Jacob and Esau were born. But the devil said, I still will take the firstborn, and his name was Esau. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll find that Esau was fair, was a red-headed person and fair complexion. And the Bible says that he was a hunter. And the Bible also says that this man was interested in his stomach like do a lot of eating. Well, I guess I'd have to be pretty guilty. I must be from the lineage of Esau. Yes, sir. But I tell you, friends, this man was carnal-minded. He was after the things of the world, and the devil said, I've got him made. But one day we find that Jacob steals the birthright and gets the blessings of the father. And so what did the devil do? Just like he did with Cain and with Abel, he says to this man, Esau said, I will let my brother get by with that. And so what happened? Esau rises up to kill Jacob, and Jacob hit out the back door and hit Highway 25 or something other out of town and got away from that. The devil said, it's just as good. He'll wasn't mine. He's a woman. They said Jesus will never be born. What happened? Brother, he was a mama's boy. And instead of going off to a strange country, he went over there to where his brother lived, whose name was Laban. And the Bible said when he got over there, he sees a beautiful little girl, and he falls in love with her. Her name was Rachel. And when he fell in love with this girl, he went to dad and said, what must I do to earn this girl for my wife? He said, work 7 years. When you ain't to work 7 years for one, huh? Well, I don't know. I've been married 15, been working ever since I got it, so I don't get this much difference. I'll tell you what, sir. One guy said to me the other day, he said, you ever seen a flying saucer? I said, who's ever been married 15 years, hadn't seen a few, had a few great women, huh? But I told him the crowd the other night, I said, honestly, my wife gets down on her knees to me. She said, the night she'll come out of that bed, I'll break the bed. Yeah. But I told that one service one time, and some smarty that came up, and in the world, there's a bed big enough for me to get under. But anyhow, I'll tell you, my friend, listen, we see here that he worked 7 years, and now it comes time for the marriage. And when the eyes was set and the veil was pulled back from her face, my soul, it wasn't Rachel. Wouldn't you hate to marry the wrong one, huh? Better not get along the one you love. Much less one you don't love. I remember back over yonder in the mountains of East Tennessee where I was born and reared. There was an old fellow one time got on a big drunk, and while he was drunk, they got him married up to somebody. One guy said, what'd you do if that happened to you? I said, get on another drunk, try to get out of it. I said, exactly what I do. But listen, friend, I think it'd be a sad thing to marry up to the wrong one. Wouldn't you need to marry the wrong one, huh? Well, this is what happened to Jacob. He was married to what he thought was the wrong wife. He went back and said, I didn't mean to marry this girl. Laban said, I know you didn't, but it's set the custom of this country is that the firstborn marries first. He said, oh, boy, since you got her. Well, he said, what did I do for the girl in my heart? What must I do to get Rachel for my wife? Said, work 7 more years. Well, he sits about. But now notice, son, we find that this first wife's name was Leah, four children. And the devil pays him no mind. But the devil said when he marries that girl in his heart and a child is born, that'll be the one that Jesus will come to. All right. He finally marries Rachel, and I would have said it wasn't long till a child born. His name is Joseph. If there's ever been a boy in the Bible that was a victim of circumstance, it is Joseph, huh? How can he came to his brothers? They didn't like it. They cast him into the pit of death. He went away to fire country. And while he was in that far country, he took a Gentile bride. And the devil says, that does it. knew Jesus would never come through the seed of this man. But what happened? I'll tell you, the Bible says, my friends, that God had chosen Joseph. That there was a child that was born of the first wife, Leah, whose name was Judah, and God says, there is the one that I'm going to choose. Now, every time you read about Israel being enslaved, when you read about David sinning against God, when you read about the Pharaoh's killing little babies and all of that, it wasn't a thing but a work of the devil to keep Jesus Christ from being born. But one day, that old devil was reminded everybody else's business and running up to the king's palace and looking in the bassinets at little babies that's being born. All of a sudden, amen, that some of the Judean healed angels got to say, unto you for the Savior, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And the devil took a running fit, went to Herod's house and said, there's been a king born, and said, he's going to take your place. And old Herod called out the National Guards and the federal troops, and he sent investigators, and the Bible said those investigators came, and they looked on Jesus, and worshipped him, and went out of town in another direction. You know what I get from that? You can't get right to God and go back the same road you come in on. Amen? You know, there's a lot of folks that like to live the same old way. They don't want to give up their crooked, dirty sins. They don't want to live for God. They don't want to serve God with all their soul, mind, and body. They'd rather go a crooked way rather than to get right with God. I tell you, dear friends, this, these ones went out in another direction. All right? What happened? Herod put out a decree that all babies under 2 years old must be killed. Now, God moved on Joseph in a dream. He said, you take Mary, and you take Jesus, and you go down yonder in the devil's stomping grounds of Egypt. And said, while he's running everybody else's business, said, I'm going to take care of you. And old Shrewfoot, for 28 years, said, Jesus was killed when all those babies were killed. But I want to tell you, friends, one day, I could see old Shrewfoot walking down to the banks of the Jordan River and happy that everything drove away. And all of a sudden, he looks up and he understands the Baptist preacher. And I know it's a Baptist because his name was John the Baptist. And that same that Baptist preacher had glory to God in his arms. It's the Son of God, and the money waters of the old Jordan are running off of him. And I want to tell you, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove, and the calf rolled back, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now listen, friends, I want to tell you, Jesus had come, and the devil said, I'll kill him before his time. And I'll tell you, that's the reason the Pharisees were asking hard questions. They asked Jesus, should we render to Caesar or to God? If it'd been me, I said, I'm going to give to God. They'd have whacked my head off for treason against the government. And if I'd have compromised and said, I'm going to give to Caesar, they'd have whacked my head off for blasphemy against God. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you give to God the things that belong to God, you give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. They were always trying to trap him. Are you listening to me? They came and said, you heal on the Sabbath. Don't you know that that's unlawful? They came to Christ and asked him hard questions. And the Bible goes out in John chapter 8 that they took up stones to cast down and to kill him, but Jesus disappeared out of the midst of them. Now, did you know, my friends, they were constantly trying to kill the Son of God before his time. Had Jesus died before he was completed his work on this earth, he would have not been the Son of God. In fact, my friends, if you find in the scriptures it talks about in God's time and in God's season, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, you old time folks, I don't know if these young people do it. I know they don't down our way. But back in the mountains years ago where I live, my grandpa planted crops and planted beans and such things as that according to the calendar. They were how the season was. Now, he was a great watermelon grower, but there had to be a certain time. I don't know what even the time was, but there was a certain time on the calendar when the zodiac was just right. My grandpa would plant the seeds into the ground. And I don't know what the signs were. I said, home the other day, this lady had some crap, and I told her she must have made it when the signs was in the feast, because it sure did stink. But listen, friend, I don't know what the signs were, but I'm about the signs. But I know one thing. You can kill hogs at a certain time. You can put fence posts in the ground at a certain time. You can put the fence posts in the ground when the moon's wrong, and they'll always be loose. You put them in when the moon's right, and they'll be tight. Am I telling it right? You folks didn't know anything about such as that. And it works too, bless God. And it's fine. I don't think so. Well, in St. Louis, you just don't know the Bible. Jesus Christ said that they could discern the seasons and the times and all of that. Well, the Bible said in God's time, Jesus was born. I looked that same way, and I got on shouting. grandson. Praise God, do you know when Jesus was born? He was born, my friend, from the signs within the lamb. Amen. The lambs of sheep, praise God. I'm going to tell you, my friends, Jesus Christ, the sheep, the Son of God, came to this world and it's a fire, and he did himself as a ransom for sin in God. And in God's time, they placed him in the ground, and in God's time, 3 days and three nights later, Jesus took the keys away from old Scrooge and came walking out, declaring, I'm he that was dead and alive forevermore, and I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Well, the devil said, I've got to do something. And so he began a new program. When Jesus ascended and went back to the right hand of God, now he gave you three things tonight. The devil said, I've got to change my program. What did he do? He said, all right, I'm going to change my program. I know Jesus has come and died for the remission of sins. I know whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the devil said, I am going to change my program. So I'll give you the three points now in the devil's program, and I'll close. It may take me 2 hours to close, but when I get through these three points of the devil's platform, I'm going to close. First of all, the devil said, I am going to counterfeit grace. I've never seen as much counterfeit in my life as there is this day and time. Have you? Huh? Well, boy, I've been there preaching everything in the world. I saw where there's a boy down in California, he's a devil worshiper. And I saw where they married a couple and they start naked and they had a prostitute there in the service that was start naked and all of that. That's devil worship. They've got every kind of a worship you can think of. Why? I was down here in the state of Florida one time, and there's some of these folks down here that, you know, they get right mystical, and they believe in spiritualism and all of that. And I saw one of those spiritualistic persons one time, and they said they talked to the dead. I went out to Texas to wait. The woman and her daughter was on that. The daughter was going to, on the train, they were going to down to Mexico to teach school, and she said they talked to the dead. I said, is that so? She said, yes. Said, there's been a man been coming to our house for about 20 years. I said, what's your old man think about it? Well, that made her laugh when I said that. She didn't like that. But you know, these folks that tell such things as that. There's more counterfeit than you ever heard of. Why, I tell you, this standing pulpit, here comes one fella. He says he belongs to the Church of Christ. And in the preach, you got to get baptized. They go to heaven. There's never been a bigger lie out of hell than that. There's got if I believe that if a man was baptized and go to heaven, I'd go around with a bath butt and stand in it. Because if you ever got out of the water, you'd be lost again, huh? I'm not saved of water. I'm going to tell you, if I be thy saved of water, I bless God. I'd get everybody I could and duck it under. I certainly would. But I'm not saved of water, and neither are you. There's folks that counterfeit the grace of God. There's people that stay in time to teach you that you've got to go to the Virgin Mary, and then she goes to Jesus, and Jesus goes to God the Father. I don't believe that. Praise God, I read the book when it says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross, the old veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It gave me access to come into the holies of holies and bring my petition, hallelujah, and seek the face of God, and God gives me a plain, clear-cut invitation of the Bible to come before the throne of grace boldly and pray and seek his face. So I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks that are religious, and the gospel is being counterfeited everywhere. I heard a guy on the radio some time ago. And he's a faith healer, and he was going on, so if you believe in healing, I sure do. I believe God does the healing, but I don't believe what this word believes. I don't believe you've got to sell cards to get in the healing line. If I believe what some of these men believe and practice, you know what I do? I go to these folio wards and heal every boy and every girl in this country. It wouldn't cost a copper penny. Hallelujah. I've raised the dead. I open the eyes of the blind, and I believe, brother, God has taken care of my needs, and I'm going to have to get on some radio station and sell healing cards. And I'd have to give away my shirt tail. That's what this guy said he was doing. He said he felt led of God to tear up his shirt tail and hand out to people in the congregation. I might look like a crackpot, but I ain't that dumb. And he said the next day there was a man climbed a power pole, and a bolt of lightning struck that power pole, and said it to burnt the wires off, blew a hole in the ground at the foot of the pole, and he said, not a how that man's head was singed, and said, the only thing saved him. Said he had a piece of my shirt tail in his field pole.
Now he said, I feel any God to tell paper, sure, now I'm good. I imagine Bullings and Meals had a big increase in cloth sales that week, don't you imagine? And he said, the first $5 in, I'm going to mail you a piece of my shirt tail. Well, that same bird, 1955, in Knoxville, Tennessee, the October 22nd issue of the Knoxville News Sentinel, you see a picture on the front page for drunk driving while he's running one of the biggest campaigns he ever had. Let me tell you something, these crackpots all over this country, amen, they're religious. Crackpots take some people to drive 500 miles to see the war took off a grandma's nose, and they wouldn't go next door to keep their neighbor out of hell. You know that? I would have taken my sister, there's religious crackpots all over this country. And they're counterfeiting the grace of God. Do you know how we're saved? The Bible said, for by grace are you saved. It didn't say, for by baptism are you saved. It didn't say, for by joining the Jehovah's Witness are you saved. It didn't say, go to Rome, get the Pope's big toe are you saved. It didn't say, go down and even join a Baptist church are you saved. Praise God, it's that far by grace are you saved. Plus nothing and minus nothing. Shall my sins washed away? They spoke to join everything. Well, they were said, I'm going to counterfeit grace, and that's what he's doing. I hear him sing these old junky songs. I hear him singing that about if working and praying, you just quit. That won't be denying. I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm working because I'm going to heaven. I'm not saved of sins, but it sure feels good to be saved. Amen. Listen, friend, I said you were saved by the grace of God. So the devil said, I've got a big grace, and that's what he's doing. All right? The devil said, I'm going to do something else. I am going to hinder Christian growth. And whether he is, let me illustrate. Got an old cow. She's bad about kicking. Somebody said, if I'd stick my head right up in her flank, she couldn't kick. So it's Sunday morning. I run to the barn. I'm running late. Isn't it strange that a fellow can get up 6 days a week at 5 o'clock to go to work? He can't get to church for limp on Sunday. Don't you know the devil's in mad high? Come on, look at me now. Some of you are looking for a sleeper. Don't you know old Sleepfoot's in mad, huh? Why, here's a guy who can go, he can go hunting. He can get up at the wee hours of the morning and go hunting. But you can't get into church on Sunday. Say your next. Well, I'm running late. I run to the barn, I throw some bran to the trough, I grab the mixed milk stew, and I got to hurry. It's 9 o'clock. I'm running late. So I cram my head up the old flank and I start milking. I'm half asleep. Oh, I'm really getting with it. I'm a milking. And about that time a fly gets on my nose. I reached up to knock that fly off, and when I did, that old heifer kicked that bucket open. And I say, I ought to take a tuba board and knock your brains out. And while I'm giving her a good chest, she wags her own tail and hits me in the face. And I say, if you ever do that again, I'll take a crowbar and dehorn you and eat you up loose. I grab my bucket up and I get to the house, and my wife says, darling, you forgot to take the garbage out. In a little bit, she says, darling, you didn't hang your trousers up. I feel it getting bigger. In a little bit, she says, darling, all the pieces. About kick the door down. Finally, we get in the car and we start for church. And as I come to the first stop sign, some bird almost runs over me. And I holler, get out of my way. Time to go to church. He hollers back, you need to. I get to church that morning, and I tell you, I go in and sit down, and my old pastor, bless his heart, he's got a sermon. And he's up there preaching up a storm, and I said, you know what I was saying? Let's go to jail, send me a wicket, by the way. I'll kill that guy. Get that bucket over me, run around, and when he gets through, I go to the door and shake his hand and say, God bless you, Pastor. I really enjoy that good message. That ain't a hypocrite I've ever seen one. That didn't get some of you, but I got one saved up for the rest of you. Here's a fellow who goes courting. The mother-in-law to me says, she's not ready yet. Come in and have a seat. So he goes in and he sits down. He waits 45 minutes. She's been ready for 40. She just wanted to make him wait. Now, after a while, she comes tiptoeing down the steps and says, I'm sorry to make you late. Oh, that's okay. I've got plenty of time. He goes to the door and holds the screen, the door open, waits for her to get out, takes her by the arm, hits her down the steps, opens the car door, waits for her to get in and comfortably seated. Then he shuts the door, goes around, gets in, cranks up like a gentleman, and drives off. That's before.
Yeah, some of you done told on.
You ought to go back now. They've been married 20 years. Sunday morning, dad's at the foot of the stairs. Hey, Bo! Why don't you come out? Bam! Slams the door. He's blowing the old jalopy collar. Poor. Literally, here comes the fool, then. She's got her hat sitting on a driver's head. She's got a young one up in this arm and one in this arm. And she's got a diaper bag and a dragon one out of her.
All the women pile in. She gets the
stopper
bag in, and about the time she gets in,
about a block down the street, she said, "Hey, Dad, would you slow down while I get my other leg in, please?" This stuff some women need to lie if you used to fix up. Now then, they lay around the house all day in a little bathrobe, the hair wired up to look like a broke down tea bottle, clothes piled in the corner, and dishes piled up. No wonder some men leave home. Amen. Well, you say, "Well, you tell me all that for?" Stop that out!
Is that to hinder your Christian growth?
Well, I'll guarantee you don't get madder on Sunday morning than any other time. The old devil will drag something out on Sunday morning. He could have drug out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, but he waited for Sunday to get it out. Huh? Right, I saw a song one time. I didn't think much of the song, but it said, it talked about, what a shame. That's the name of it, what a shame. It said, what a shame to lie on Sunday, what a lying shame. And it goes on to say, what a shame to lie on Sunday, what a lying shame. When you got Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Why, you know, boy, listen, the devil, he'll drag something out that ought to place on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He'll drag it out on Sunday. Boy, make something really big out of it. Now, what am I saying? The devil is out to hinder Christian growth. And then the devil said, "I've got something else I'm going to do." He said, "I am going to upset world order." That's what he's doing. Devil don't care whether you're black, white, pink, or blue. He's cut somebody's throat. Devil don't care whether you live in America or you live in Yugoslavia. Just get mad and kill somebody. That's all the devil wants. And so he said, "I'll upset world order." That's the reason we're having riots in the streets. That's the reason not only in America, but in every other country just about. There's riots, and young people are rebelling against the older folks and against government, against law. This is not just a thing in the United States, but it's worldwide. And my friends, it's the weapon of the devil in the last days to upset world order. That's the reason there's such things as communism exist in the world. I'll take you against democracy and freedom thinking people. The devil said, "I am going to upset world order." Well, you say, "Preacher, we're in a bad fix." Yes, sir. You say, "Aren't you afraid of the missiles down in Cuba?" No. "Aren't you worried about the communists taking over?" "Aren't you worried about that?" Another word. You say, "Well, preacher, you must be a crackpot." I just read the last chapter. Let me illustrate. Did you ever read a novel? And as you read that novel, my, your hero all of a sudden is captured by the villain. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's tied to a mill wheel down at the old grist mill, and the water's up his lip, and he's going to drown. Why, who could go to sleep when something like that's going on? I read a little further, and there's Heron, she tied the bedpost up down the mountain cabin, and the poor old thing, she's going to starve to death. I've got to stop reading. It's late. I got to get up no more, but I just can't stop. I read a little further. There's that old villain. He's riding the big black stallion. My, he's the one tied my heels, that water wheel. He's the one that tied that girl, that bedpost up down that mountain cabin. You think I'm going to sleep? No, sir. I turn the page down, and then I turn over to the last chapter. Now, I'm not cheating. It's my book. I bought the page for it. I start reading the last chapter, and you know what happened? That fella got loose, went up there in the mountains and rescued that girl, and now they're happily married. The old villain rides over a cliff and breaks his neck. I didn't know I had that much in there. I'll tell you what the truth, my friend, listen. While the old villain is dead. I turn the light down. Everything is okay. But the next night when I go back to bed, you know what I do? I open my novel up to where I turn the page down. And look, here's my hero. The letters of this written.
It looks like it's on the ground. I say, old boy, if you just knew what I knew, you wouldn't be upset.
Huh? Oh, man, I see that girl looks like she's going to starve to death. I say, sis, if you just knew what I knew, you wouldn't be upset. I say, I see that old villain riding that big black stallion. And I say, bud, look, if you knew what I knew, you'd call it quits because you're fixing to get it where the chicken got it, right around the neck. Yes, sir. Now, listen, somebody said, aren't you worried about communism? Aren't you worried about the Russians? Aren't you worried about Cuba? Aren't you worried about this? Praise God, listen. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and come what may. I'm guaranteed as a child of God to come out safe on the other side, my friend, because I have quit the life chapter. What's going to happen to the devil that has caused so much heartache and sorrow? Listen to what God said in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. I can't lose the winning. Hallelujah. And that it's been settled. And that when Jesus Christ took to the cross, praise God, he took the sting out of death and he conquered the grave. And because of that, I want to tell you, friends, I'm glad tonight that one of these days he's going to speak. And the devil, the false prophet, the old beast, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And God said, forever and forever. Whose side, y'all? This fire making prayer. Has ever had God never eyes closed tonight? Let me ask again, whose side are you on? If I were...